There's a pew Bible there if you didn't happen to bring one with you this morning. It's on page 1245, is that right? Somewhere around there. The reading which we heard this morning was just verses 4 through 15 from the 6th chapter of John. I'd actually like us to look at the entire chapter because even what we heard this morning is of a piece with the whole chapter. The story that we heard read began as Jesus had come across the Sea of Galilee. Large crowds came and followed him. And as it got towards the end of the day and all of them were hungry and needed to be fed, Jesus turned first to Philip and asked him, how are we going to feed these people? And he said, well, we don't even have enough money. It would take 6 months' wages just to give them all a little bit to eat. And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now, one of the things that you should know is that barley in those days was considered the cheapest grain. And so only poor people ate loaves of barley. In fact, there was an expression used in those days when you talked about somebody who had a lot of hot air as a teacher or a preacher or an orator. He was called a barley orator. And it meant he was just basically full of nothing. So barley was despised in those days as foodstuff for bread. So the loaves that this boy has are the cheapest kind of bread that's available. And so Jesus has all of them sit down. Then he took the loaves, and it says, this is verse 11, and when he had given thanks, the word in Greek for thanks is Eucharisto. When we celebrate communion, here on Sunday morning, we call it communion sometimes, but we also call it Eucharist. And we call it Eucharist because the Greek word to give thanks is Eucharist. And so when Jesus took this bread, about to distribute it to these 5,000 people, he gave thanks. He gave Eucharist. And so when we celebrate Eucharist, it comes from this word that was used here to describe what Jesus did. And it says, when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, go and collect the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. And then John is very explicit here. He says, so they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. Now, when the people saw what sign had been done, think about this. These people have all come to Jesus because they know he's been going around healing people. So they've seen signs from Jesus already. And now they've all gathered, and they've seen him take 5 loaves of barley and 2 fish and feed 5,000 people. And then when they're all done,
thank you.
It was your husband's idea. Thank you, Marilyn. We'll see if I can balance it there without knocking it over. Probably not. These people then see baskets taken up to collect the fragments that are left over, and there are 12 baskets filled. They get it. They know that a miracle has occurred in their presence, and that's what this thing about the sign is. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, listen to these words, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. And what are they talking about? They're talking about comes from Deuteronomy. 18th chapter. You don't need to turn there. You can if you want. 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, starting at verse 13. Moses is speaking to the people and giving them instructions which he has been given by God to give to the people. Deuteronomy 18:13, and he says, you must remain completely loyal to the Lord your God. Although these nations that you are about to dispossess, these are the nations, the lands that they're going into, do give heed to soothsayers and diviners. As for you, the Lord your God does not permit you to do so. Now, I just put this here as an aside and really tangential to the topic. But should you ever wonder whether it's okay with God to go see a psychic or to call a psychic hotline, let me read this again. You must remain completely loyal to the Lord your God, where this is tied to with loyalty to God. Although these nations that you are about to dispossess do give heed to soothsayers and diviners, as for you, the Lord your God does not permit you to do so. Just so we're clear that it's clear. Then this section goes on. This is Moses speaking to the people. Now he says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. Now this prophecy from Moses as a prophet said, the Lord will raise up a prophet for you like me, and you shall heed him. These 5,000 people know this prophecy. They know Moses has said this, and they are expecting this prophet to be raised up. This is the Messiah. This is considered one of the messianic prophecies. And they are expecting the Messiah to come. And so they then see these miracles that Jesus does, and they go, oh, this is the prophet who was to come. And so then the day ends, and Jesus, because these people have decided he's the Messiah, they immediately want to seize him and raise him up and make him king, because their idea of the Messiah is a political redeemer for Israel, somebody who will drive out the Romans and reestablish the dominance of Israel. Jesus knows this isn't what the Messiah is about. And so he disappears up into the mountains. And then his disciples get in a boat and go across the lake. And as now, here's something really vital, and this is where all of this begins. Look at verse 19. The disciples are headed across the Sea of Galilee. It's dark. Jesus hadn't come to him. The sea gets rough and a strong wind is blowing. They've rowed 3 or 4 miles. And then they look and they see Jesus walking on the sea, coming near the boat. And it says, and they were terrified. They were terrified. But he said to them, and here's what the translation says, it is I, do not be afraid. Okay. In Greek, the words that he says there when he says, it is I, are ego, I, me. Now, why does this matter? The Jews in that day did not read the Old Testament in Hebrew. They read it in Greek. It had been translated into Greek by 70 scholars about 200 AD into a book called the Septuagint. Septua stands for 70. 70 scholars. So the Hebrew Bible of that day was in Greek. Okay? And in the Greek, in Exodus 3:13, Moses is talking to God. God is about to send Moses to see the Israelites and call them out of Egypt. And Moses says, this is Exodus 3:13, but Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your... Thank you for the water, Marilyn, and for the idea, David. If I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Ego, I, me, in Greek. Jesus says exactly the same words to the disciples in the boat as God said about himself to Moses. Ego, I, me. Okay? And if you go ahead a little bit further in John to chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus is saying this to people standing around him, to the Jews. He's saying, your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. And the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Remember, Abraham is 1,500 years before the birth of Jesus. The Jews say to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. Ego, I me. Exact same words. And then, in the very early morning hours, before Jesus is killed, Judas goes and gets a contingent of Roman soldiers and a bunch of priests, temple police from the temple, and he brings them to come and take Jesus. John 18:3. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen for him, came forward and asked them, whom are you looking for? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I am he. Same words. Ego, I, me, in the Greek. He said, I am. When Jesus said to them, this is verse 6, when Jesus said to them, I am he, they stepped back and fell to the ground. Think about this. Jesus is in the garden. Judas and the temple police and the Roman contingent, a lot of men come out with weapons to take this one man into custody. And they come up to him and they say, he says, who are you seeking? They say, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am. And they fall to the ground. These tough soldiers fall to the ground because Jesus declares who he is. He just says those words, ego, I, me, I am. They fall to the ground. Now, continuing on back in chapter 6 of John, Jesus, the next morning, is over on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and all of the people get up the next morning, and Jesus is gone, and the disciples are gone, and they saw the disciples leave in the only boat. And so they wondered to themselves, where's Jesus? How did Jesus get away from here? And so they decide to go and find out. In fact, they find him over on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they ask him, how did you get here, Rabbi? There was only one boat. I mean, they know something's going on. They haven't figured out what it is, but they know something's going on. But Jesus doesn't respond to that question. He asks them a question instead. Rather, they say, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to perform the works of God? So they have seen the miracle of the bread and the loaves and the fish. They've seen the miracles of healing. They've discovered that Jesus is gone, and somehow or other he's gotten across the sea, and they know he didn't take a boat. So they're pretty sure that this might be the prophet who was to come. They're pretty sure that this might be the Messiah. And so he says to them that they must have the food which endures for eternal life. They ask, what must we do to perform the works of God? Mitzvot, good works in Hebrew. And he says, the work of God is this. What does he say the work of God is? This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. That is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. So they said to him, what sign are you going to give us so that we may see it and believe in you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now what's going on here is all of these people have seen the miracle yesterday, but maybe they forgot already. But they think maybe this might actually be the Messiah that Moses predicted. And so they ask him, what sign are you going to show us? You know, Moses gave us manna to eat in the wilderness. And so what sign are you going to show us? Now, it seems like funny that they've forgotten just the very day before he gave them bread. But they ask him this question. Moses gave us manna in the wilderness. What sign are you going to show us? And Jesus says, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they say to him, sir, give us this bread always. And he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then dropping down to verse 45, he says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God, that is himself. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I realize at the beginning of chapter 6 of John, Jesus has distributed bread to 5,000 people. He has given thanks, Eucharist, as he begins to distribute this bread. And if you look at this, you realize that everything Jesus is doing in this chapter echoes or foretells something that is coming in the future, something that is about to happen. And so Jesus says to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And what did Jesus say on the night of the Passover to his disciples? He broke the bread and said, this is my body. He shared the cup and said, this is my blood. And so here, weeks before, he's beginning to tell them what will happen. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Then the disciples begin to dispute again. And many of them, hearing this, say, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? And Jesus says, does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Again, he has foretold what is going to happen after his resurrection. And then he says, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, for this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. It's a chilling thought. He has given them a hard teaching, and some of them have just said, we can't take this, and they left. And so Jesus asked the 12, listen to these words. This is so central for all of us. Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Each of us must ask this question in our own lives. Who is this Jesus? And if we can say with Peter, "Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We know, believe that you are the Holy One of God." And for those who will say this, Jesus says he will never drive them away. They're his for eternity. His life gives each of us eternal life. And so let each of us this day, in our hearts and with our lips, say that we have come to believe, know that Jesus is the Holy One of God.